Last Sunday, we had a message about fate. This Sunday, I'd like to talk to you about luck. We hear these terms from time to time, and I feel like it's important that we don't allow our spiritual man to be controlled by something that is not a godly or scriptural perspective. So that's the reason that I felt inspired with these thoughts. As just a very small amount of review, I'd like to refresh us in that fate is that concept that everything is been prearranged without our knowledge, and that because of fate, life unfolds the way it does for us. And so I'm not going to try to talk about the message last Sunday any more than that, but that's the idea that is behind the word fate, is we are just fitting into the channel that was predetermined without us being even able to select path A or path B. So I'm just using that as an illustration. So this morning I would like to talk to us about luck. The word luck is not in the scripture. There are verses in there that seem to indicate that it's talking about the same thing that today would be labeled luck. I'm going to read you a definition that I have. Luck, or what we call chance, accident, fortune, is an event which takes place without being intended or foreseen, or from some cause not under human control, that which cannot be previously known or determined with certainty by human skill or power. So just as fate, luck seems to indicate that the events of life is outside of the scope of any impact of our decision-making process. So I just want us to consider this, because there are things that happen to us in life that are unavoidable. Someone else could have helped it not happen to us, but many times it's out of our immediate control. Luck is a term that sometimes we assign to events that we don't try to understand. And that's really something that I want us to try to get a hold of today, is we can ascribe something as good luck or bad luck, and many times it's because we don't have the motivation, or we don't see the necessity of trying to understand why life unfolded like it did. And we could say, well, I'm just an unlucky person. It's bad luck. I worked with a man, I don't remember how long, but it's been years ago now. And everything that happened, he had on the job, I don't know about his personal life, but on the job it seems like that things went wrong a lot of times, especially in his diagnostic skills. And he would sell a repair on a vehicle, and then lo and behold, it didn't fix or something. And he was, his expression that he used a lot, I remember his expression almost better than I remember his name, because he said, well, Murph has struck again. And you probably heard the expression about Murphy's Law. If anything bad can happen, then that's what's going to happen. Well, he said, he would say that over and over again. Old Murph has struck again. And he always thought that the reason things didn't go well was because there was a bad spirit in the car. And he would talk about haints. Y'all have to be from the South to understand a haint, or it's kind of a ghost-like thing in folklore. And he was going to, some of his techniques was he was going to hang a cross on the car to try to make it behave right. Well, I'm going to tell you, he depended way too much on this concept of luck. And there were times that I wanted to tell him, if you just back up just a little bit and look at what was happening and look at what you did to resolve that, you would see why you got the result that you did. It wasn't Murph and it wasn't luck. There's a consequence here for you either not being thorough or because of your actions. It's not a luck situation. It's not a Murph. It's not a haint. It's not a, we need to hang a cross on something. There's something more controllable than that. So I told you that story for the purpose of helping us understand that many times, instead of trying to understand why things happen the way they do in life, and really asking God to help us have an understanding of what my part is and how life is unfolding for me. Instead of that, many times we want to just say, well, just cause of bad luck. And we could be the other way. We could look on at other people and say, they're just lucky, as in good luck. We might have even, you know, if somebody makes a perfect score on the test in school, if you ever did that, there was probably somebody else in the class that said, you were lucky. But if you made a perfect score three times in a row, it's not, there's something else going on there. And you can't ascribe all of that to somebody else's good luck. You need to look a little different, a little deeper. You need to consider what goes into this. So I said that luck is something that people ascribe to things they don't understand. Sometimes these are events that if we would just take a little bit more prudence, a little bit more diligence, we'll realize it's not just a chance. There were some factors that were involved in that. I believe many catastrophes can be prevented. And if not the first time, certainly the second time. I remember Ed Chester. Some of you men remember this story. I know a lot of y'all remember the man. And he told us a story about somebody that was working in the foundry, and I don't know what the equipment was, but in the process of doing his job, he put his finger where it shouldn't have been, and the machine cut his finger off. Remember that story, Brother David? And Ed was telling us this story, and he said this man got his finger cut off, and some of his co-workers were right there, and they said, Joe, or whatever his name was, Joe, how did you do that? And he said, just like this. And he stuck another finger in there, and he cut his second finger off. Well, that wasn't luck. The second one was preventable. I think the first one was preventable. It wasn't that he had bad luck. You don't lose two fingers, one right after another, by putting them where they don't belong. That is not luck, folks. And I just want us to consider this morning that I believe God has something more for us than to go floating through life thinking that fate and luck is what makes us who we are and takes us where we are. There's something that's more sustainable. There's more something that's more stable. There's something that is more capable of giving us a predictable outcome. None of us are going to get to heaven because of good luck. And none of us are going to end up in hell because of bad luck. It's going to be because there was an initiative taken that says, I'm going to consider all the factors here. I'm going to take into account, in consideration of what my choices are, what my actions are. I'm not going to stick my finger in the hole, and I'm not going to depend on some mysterious thing that I have no control over. I'm going to seek the Lord, not for a lucky experience, but for a genuine experience, one that is something that's sustainable, predictable, and something that I can build on. I don't want to create or try to manufacture a relationship out of luck. So, I was taught growing up that, and they didn't teach me maybe this underlying principle, but they taught me, my parents taught me things that I shouldn't do, I shouldn't engage in. They taught me to stay away from games of chance. You know what I mean by that? Gambling. I grew up in a home where we didn't play. If it was too long back, I don't think there was such a thing as a lottery at that point. My dad didn't enter into betting on races or any of that. It was a game of chance. And they instructed me to take a path that was predictable, something that I could build one step upon another. The Scripture teaches us that our relationship with the Lord and our progress through life should be one step after another, one concept after another. We get a little closer to the Lord because we apply ourselves, not because it's a lucky thought of the day. I believe in inspiration, and I don't believe that's luck. I believe God can speak to us. He brings things to our mind, and that's in a different vein than luck. All right? But I believe that we progress in our relationship with the Lord that on a different plateau, a different plane than just bad luck and good luck. So I'd like to read a verse, or at least part of a verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. And the writer here says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, yet bread to the wise, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. I believe this chance here is not just talking about the word luck that we're using today, but time and chance that happens to all of us. There's opportunity that's presented. There are disappointments that happen to all of us. Not everything works out like I anticipate it to work out. But I'm unwilling to accept an attack from the enemy that says, I have a dose of bad luck. I'm willing to say that something unfortunate happened, and I'd like for it not to happen. And then the next step is, what could I do? Lord, help me to have an understanding of what I can do to prevent it from happening if it's a negative thing. I have tightened a lot of bolts in my life. And, you know, there are some bolts that seem to be much more important to tighten than others. You know, those, sometimes you call them lug bolts or lug nuts that hold the wheel on. That's pretty important. And in all of my years of working on cars and all of the wheels that I've had off and back on, I've had one time that the wheel, I didn't get it tight. And in fact, I just pulled out of the drive, and I got about a quarter of a mile down the road, and I thought I noticed something just a little bit strange about how the car was handling, and then the car kind of slumped down on one corner, and the wheel passed me up. And I watched it roll ahead of me and go down the road, and it actually hit a brick house. Didn't hurt the house, thankfully. But that's a pretty unnerving experience. I'm glad it happened to me and not to the customer. I'm glad there wasn't any damage done to anything, and it was all resolved, okay? But that wasn't bad luck. It was oversight. The reason it happened is because I didn't verify that I had all the lug nuts tight. So, you know how many times I go over lug nuts? I don't just tighten them one time. I go around that more than one time. I always have done that. How I missed that one, I'm not real sure, but I do know this. It wasn't because I had an unlucky day. It was because of an oversight on my part. When I'm tightening some particular fastener inside of an engine, I have a routine that I check it three times. You know why? I don't want to be start the engine up and hear some kind of noise and ask myself, did I tighten that bolt? Because I know if I went over them three times, I didn't miss it three times. I might have missed it once, maybe twice, but I don't miss it three times. If I went through the whole routine three times, I don't miss it. We can avoid the things that looks like bad luck many times. Many times. I want us to stress that. Time and chance doth have. There are opportunities that we overlook something. I overlooked tightening a wheel one time. Only time. I hope it's the only time that it ever happens to me. And I'm very, very thankful that it didn't have catastrophic results. Lord, help us to recognize that to live in a realm of luck, good or bad, is something that the enemy wants to do to distract us from taking responsibility for how life unfolds. Let's look at another verse. I'd like to look at 1 Samuel, the 6th chapter, and we'll begin reading in the 9th verse. First Samuel chapter 6, and I'll begin reading in verse 9. And the situation here is the Philistines had captured the Ark of the Covenant. They had it in their possession, and while they was having it in their possession, they put it, I believe, in the presence of their idols. And it was causing problems with their idols. Their idols weren't behaving correctly. They weren't staying upright. They were breaking and all of that. Right, Brother David? So I want to start reading here, and I want y'all to notice how this says. In verse 9 it says, we'll start in verse 8. It says, "And take the ark of the Lord, and lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of gold which ye return him for a trespass offering in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go." So he says, we're going to put the ark of the covenant. They'd already had a plan how we're going to return it. And he said, "And see if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Beth-Shemesh, then he had done us this great evil." Okay, I'll give you a little more backside of the story. They built this cart, and they took two cows that had calves on them. Now, and they took the calves that were not weaned, they took them away from their mothers and put them in a pen and hooked the cows up that had these two babies to the ark, the wagon, the cart that had the ark on it, and they sent it, just turned it loose. And they said, "See if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Beth-Shemesh, then he hath done us this great evil." We're going to see if these cows that really want to stay with their babies, if they stay around here or if they go up the path on the way home, the way to Israel. Now, some of y'all that's been around cattle, you know, this is, you're setting yourself up for disappointment. You don't confine two baby calves, hook up the cows to a cart, and expect it to go the opposite direction. It just don't happen that way. And they said, "If the cows go, then we know that the ark is what a source of our problem is. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand." Did you think they wanted to get rid of this ark? It had a lot of gold on it. They wanted to keep it. We'll just see if it takes off and goes back to the Israelites. And if it does, then we'll know that the ark was what was causing our problems with our idols. They went in one morning, they fell over, and the next morning they come back and they fell over and broke themselves. And nobody was there. It was just the ark. And then he said, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance. It was just bad luck that happened to us. If the ark and the unweaned calves, mothers, don't take off and go back to the Israelites, then we'll know that we're just having a case of bad luck. Who do we want to be like idol worshipers? I don't. You know, we can set ourselves up for disappointment. Anybody want to have some goats? You're going to need more than a 5-strand barbed wire fence to keep them in, right? You got to have a woven wire fence or a 10-wire barbed wire fence. You're not going to keep them in with 5 wires, because goats, they just like to go where goats want to go. And when they get to the fence, they're going to go through that fence. You're going to set yourself up for a bad experience if you put goats in where cows have been kept in. It don't take near as good a fence to keep a cow in as it does a goat. A goat will walk right over and he'll step through that fence and he'll be in the neighbors. And it's not bad luck. It's not bad luck if your goat disappears. It's poor planning. These guys were not planning very good for the ark to go away. But the men did it and hooked the two cows up to the cart and turned them loose, and they went back home. It says in verse 12, and the kine or the cattle took the straight way to the way of the Beth-Shemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turned not aside to the right or the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them under the border of Beth-Shemesh. And they of Beth-Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. So when the Israelites saw the ark coming, they were so ecstatic about this. It was a chance that it came back, right? Time and chance happened to all of us. But it wasn't something the Israelites had planned for. They maybe hoped for it, maybe they prayed for it, but it took the Philistines willing to set themselves up. They just wasn't very good planning. I want us to think about the decisions we make in our life. And are we making decisions that will give us an expected end, or we're just hoping things will turn out different? Are we taking into consideration the path that is most logical, the most logical thing for those cows to do once you hook them up to the cart is to circle and go right back around to where the calves were? That was the most logical thing for them to do. They didn't approach this in a manner that they should have approached it. But the Lord was able to overrule all of that, and he got them a message. The message was their gods were so far inferior to the God of the Israelites. That was what was causing their problem. It wasn't just bad luck. I'd like to turn to Luke, the 10th chapter, and notice an account here. There's people that were questioning Jesus, and the question that they asked him at this time was, Lord, who's my neighbor? And you remember the account that Jesus gave to teach them who the neighbor was? It was the parable, we call it, of the Good Samaritan. So if we read beginning in verse 29 of the 10th chapter of Luke, it says, but he, willing to justify himself, somebody that did not want to extend the neighbor privilege very far at all, he says, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Who is it that would qualify to be my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And we know the rest of the parable and how it turned out. And my point in reading this is not that we get the message of the parable as much as we understand that the verse here that says, by chance there came down a certain priest. It wasn't merely good luck that caused this situation to develop. The odds of a priest being on that road, according to my references, was pretty good. They regularly traveled between Jericho and Jerusalem, and there's a lot of background story to that. So when we drive down the road, I think all of us realize that there's more cars per hour that cross a particular point on Interstate 44 than Highway 96. Just a fact. You want to get broke down and have somebody stop to help you, then stay on the main road. You want to be really stranded, go down the dirt road. You know, go pick the road that nobody else really knows where it's at. Get the unpaved road that don't really have any road signs, no mile markers, maybe not any stop signs or anything like that. Go pat down that road if you want to be really stranded. Well, he was on a road, and there was a chance. There was a opportunity, but it wasn't just an outstandingly lucky maneuver that a priest come by or that a Levite came by. Samaritans walked that road too. The point of the story of the parable was to teach about neighbors. But the thing I want us to realize is this road that went from Jerusalem to Jericho, that was probably the best road to travel if you needed some help. And what environments do we subject ourselves to? And what is the likelihood that we will get help? What are we exposing ourselves to? You know, when I drive a vehicle the first time after a repair, I take my cell phone with me. The reason I take my cell phone with me is I don't like to be broke down. I have been broke down. I've been broke down before I repaired something, and I've been broke down after I repaired something. And I will tell you that if it's close to quitting time, I will go up and ask who is staying for a little while, because I want to go drive this car maybe for 15 minutes. And if I'm broke down, I don't want everybody else to be gone when I come back. I want somebody to come get me. Bring me a chain or something to drag it back. I'm not wanting to just be lucky, all right? I'm trying to make, I want us to think about, instead of just hoping that we're lucky, life is a result of good decisions. We can't always make a decision about things that we don't know. But Lord, help us to make a good decisions about the things that we do know. Don't put our finger back in the hole where the last one disappeared. Don't do something that we haven't verified is a good choice. Proverbs says in chapter 22 and verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. You know how difficult it is for me today to deviate from the things my parents taught me? It's difficult. And it's because they took some thought. children are just immature little adults. And children want to exercise their right of choice, just like we exercise our right of choice. And I know, because I'm more mature now than I was when I was 20, I know that there are choices that if I make them today will end up with a bad end result. And the more that I can depend on making a good, broad decision, the better it'll work out for me to make my specific decisions in life. The parent's responsibility is to introduce and to create circumstances for our children that guide their choices. So, my parents told me some things that helped guide my choices. One of the things they said, they made an assessment on who were safe friends and not safe friends. And they told me, don't go in somebody else's house. That was one of the decisions. That's one of the parameters they give me without their approval. They told me when I was too small to understand, if you run with the wrong crowd and you get in trouble and you get in jail, that was a big thing. Because I was too small to understand what jail was. My mama said, call me, but I won't come bail you out. That's what she told me. And she told me that from the time that I was probably younger than some of the little children here. And you know what? She told me that so many times that I believed her. And it came to the point that when I got to choosing friends in high school, there was a point that I realized if I choose to be real close friend, not that you can't be friendly, please understand the difference, but I didn't choose to go spend a lot of time with these young men because I didn't want to be involved in what I believed them to be involved in. And I was able to get all the way through my high school and teenage years without being arrested. You know why? One of the things that caused me to make those kind of choices was not luck. It was because my parents conditioned me to make a good choice. So I'm asking us this morning to consider what kind of environments we expose ourselves to and what kind of conditions we put ourselves in, and it will help us make proper decisions. You know, I feel like the best place that we can come on Sundays is to church. I believe that. And why is that? It's because it's a circumstance that helps us make better choices for the rest of the week. So, Lord, help us. It's not lucky that we end up being an upright person if we go to church. I mean, I hope this you can connect the dots here. So, I believe that luck has less to do with the outcomes and more about what we are willing to expose ourselves to. I expose myself to a lot of corruption, a lot of negativity, a lot of bad. I'm going to have some bad luck, if you will. I'm going to make some choices that's not as wise. So I want to create an environment, a conditions that will help me make good choices and minimize those errors. Success is not the result of good luck. And failure is not the consequence of bad luck. I want us to take that home with us. I want us to realize that to say I had good luck, or to say that I had a lot of bad luck, is a way to discount many times responsibility. Or to be overly hopeful when really we didn't have justifiable hope. The Philistines didn't really have, if it hadn't have been for the power of God, they didn't have justifiable hope that that ark would go back where it was supposed to. And we're not going to have, if we make a series of bad choices, we can't have justifiable hope that the end will be good. On the other side of that, if we will put ourselves in an atmosphere, if we will choose our circumstances to where we know we make better choices, we can expect a good end. And I believe, if you want to think of it this way, I think we can take ultimately the good end of being at peace with God, I think we can take that to the bank. We can have that confidence. Brother Sammons, those of you that remembered him, Brother Mark Sammons, he said it so many times that I believe him. And he said to us, as young people growing up, to the congregations he preached to, you can have a no-so salvation. And I believe that. He said that, he would say that multiple times during the course of a message, you can have a no-so salvation. And I believe that we can do that. I believe that it's not going to be lucky for me to end up in heaven. It's going to be because I actively chose environments, circumstances, conditions that help me make the right choices. And if I don't choose that, then it's not going to be unlucky that I don't get there. It's going to be a consequence of poor decisions. I want to dismantle the power, with the help of the Lord, I want to dismantle the power that luck sometimes seems to have in people's lives. Like I said, the man I worked with, he seemed to ascribe his success in his occupation to either good luck or bad luck. And I believe it was much more explainable than that. And our success or our failures in life is going to be much more explainable other ways than to say, well, you know, I've just been a lucky person. I'm sorry. That's very, very difficult for me to handle and understand and accept, because success is a result of good decisions. I want us all to make good decisions this morning. I want, if you feel like you've been fortunate to come in contact with good exposure or what, thank the Lord and ask the Lord to help you make a conscious effort and decisions to do the right thing. You pray for me.